From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs fans. Those of you that are old fans of the team, new fans of the guys that are now Chiefs, like, we have so much going on. We're going to get all into it. Before Matt Derrick comes on, who's going to give you his perspective, Chris and I are going to go through each of these maneuvers as quickly as we possibly can and give them justice. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening, as always. And we do appreciate all the iTunes reviews, so thank you for those as well. I don't know what we're going to talk about, though, Ryan. There's, like, no news going on for the Chiefs today, right?
I know. Ho-hum, right? The Chiefs parted ways with a running back, signed another, brought back one of the defensive ends that we were talking about. And then there's, you know, the things that are still going on. But
speculation.
Right. It just keeps mounting and mounting. So let's start real quick. It caught me a little off guard. I thought that they would keep Damian Williams and keep the Daryl or whatever it was before, Damian, Daryl, and Clyde show as the three primaries. But they decided to move on from Damian, keeping Daryl to a new contract. How do you like the maneuvers?
I like that they brought Daryl back. It does not surprise me that they brought him back. I was expecting that. I was a little surprised about Damian, although when you really start thinking about it and start thinking about who's in that running back room, Damian wasn't going to start. That's a lot of money to play a sorry to pay a guy that is going to be your backup. And you have Daryl, who played a pretty big role last year. So it makes sense that they want to get younger at the position, and they probably want to go a little bit cheaper as well. And honestly, I almost wonder if it has anything to do with one of the other speculative moves, or maybe both of the speculative moves that we've been hearing about.
We're going to get to that in a second. They also did re-sign Taco Charlton, or have announced the intention to, at the very least. We talked about that last week and in our defensive end preview. I think it's a positive thing. I thought he was efficient when he was on the field. Yes, the injury really hurts, but I think there's still a lot of upside there. I don't think it precludes them from anything else in the draft at the position. How do you feel about Taco being back?
I like it. I think it was a good move for them, and I do think that it was something that they needed to do. They still need to draft somebody, and it still, in my mind, honestly wouldn't preclude me from taking a defensive end at the number one pick in their first round pick, because honestly, you can never have enough of those guys. And he was hurt last year, and really all they have on the roster right now other than him is Dana and Tim Ward, who they know nothing about almost. So definitely got to do something.
Yeah, I liked what I saw from Ward for a first, couple of snaps on the field. But I think eventually they have to get somebody else that is an impact specific pass rusher. That's what they're for, because I do like the concept of Charlton and Dana being the backups that rotate in and give relief reps and continue to develop those guys. But I need somebody else to come in there and smash from the left hand side. Now, that also plays into a couple of the other things that are going on that we're going to cover on real quickly. And that is, surprisingly, the Raiders decided to let go of Rodney Hudson. Now, he's got a history. He is an elder veteran at this point. I don't know how much is left in the tank, but a lot of speculation that he could want to return to Kansas City. How do you feel about that prospect?
Sure, if he wants to play for a couple million dollars as opposed to, the 15 he was making. I look at it and I say that if he wants to come here, he can come here and the Chiefs can afford it. I said this earlier on Twitter and I'll say it again. They could afford Trent Williams. They could afford Rodney Hudson together. But it's going to be tight and they're going to have to make some other moves if they want to afford both those guys. I don't think Kansas City expected Hudson to be released. So is it possible that they're looking and saying, well, maybe we can improve, three positions on our offensive line on one free agency and then really open up the draft? Possibly. I have a hard time believing it would be both of them. I think it could be one of them. And it sounds like they're, in the top spot for Williams right now, which kind of scares me, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. If you're going to spend at one place, I think it needs to be tackle. I don't think they should really look into Hudson in terms of fitting this offense again. The Williams things, I have to say, the longer it goes on and the more that we hear as we record right now, which is pretty late on Tuesday, folks, is it is a race between the Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, who we played for last year, to re-sign, in the Niners' case, Trent Williams. And it looks like it is now north of $20 million per annum. Whether it goes up much higher than that, I'm getting to the point where, the oxygen mask is on. I'm at the sub-summit of Everest, and I'm like, I just don't think I can go any higher.
I get that. I really don't know what to look at and to say they're going to do. When you're starting to talk $20 million for Trent Williams, making any other moves is going to be very hard. And honestly, that's not even the one that really kind of shocked me the most that they could be in on.
Now, this is important. This is a low level trade, and I don't like trades this time of year, period. But how do you feel about the report that Nate Taylor put out that the Chiefs are one of the teams that have at least acquired and expressed some interest in trading for Zach Ertz with the Eagles?
Interesting. I don't see how they do it financially. There's too much money that would be tied up in that one position. And Ertz is a great player. And don't get me wrong, I would love to have a second tight end that could be very good for, you know, this team. But man, I don't see it. It's a fit that doesn't make sense to me. But honestly, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. And honestly, I think it would work really well for him. It could work really well for him. You put him in this offense with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, that is going to be very interesting to see how teams decide to deal with that. But the problem is Zach Ertz is on a deal right now. He's on a base salary of $8.5 million. So it would cost him $8.5 million.
Yeah, it's a lot to deal with, and I don't think there's enough tricks in the book really to make that particular number come down. I'd rather wait till a release and see what happens. So we're going to get Matt Derrick's opinion on most of these and dig into the details about Joe Tooney, about how they move forward, what the pass rush is going to look like. And I know you've been waiting for this, but we're going to have old pal Seth Kaiser back on the show tomorrow, so don't miss that one. We'll get with Matt coming up next. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is best. It's Built Bar Madness. There are daily matchups as all the high-powered flavors go head-to-head. Go to BuiltBar.com or at Built Bar on Twitter. Check out the matchup and vote in the Built Bar bracket. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20. To get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back and see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news, every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Amongst all the hubbub that is going on, I really can't keep it all straight, and we all know how good I or terrible I am at that. But Matt Derrick is a professional, and he's here to keep us straight and to inform us about what's going on. How are you, Matt?
I'm just trying to keep up with everything. You're right. It's been crazy.
it's been pretty, I won't say shocking, because we knew that they could do something like this, but to set everything up that's gone on, and we haven't even actually hit the deadline yet. We're still in the, you know, tampering phase, which I always enjoy that term. But to clear the road for what has happened, we'll talk about Joe Tooney in a minute. We'll tell you guys a little bit more about what's going on as well. But to get prepared for this, obviously we knew about Patrick Mahomes last week, but then Chris Jones got a restructure. Evidently, Travis got a restructure, but didn't know about it, but then it hit anyway.
I love that one. Yes.
That's one of my favorites. But that's how they get to the point now where, according to the popular sites, they're, you know, 20 below the cap at this point. Plus, I mean, I don't even know what the hard number is right now. You probably know better than I do, but that was all planning to be able to be a little bit more fluid and do some of the things that they want to do right now in this phase, right?
Yeah, and they've got plenty of room to do pretty much anything they want to. You know, and hey, we're still even waiting to see the structure of the Joe Tooney deal to see how that shakes out, but that's not going to, you know, prohibit them. I mean, they've, you know, Brett Veach has got the money and the resources to do some things. Obviously, we have once again been reminded, if you did not know, the salary cap is pliable. It's not like a speed limit. That's a suggestion. You know, it is a hard number, but there's always some ways around it. And no matter how big or small. And sometimes the decisions are tough and brutal. Like Damian Williams, you know, being let go, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility, because it was simply, hey, you know what? You can save almost $2.2 million. And earlier in the day, the Chiefs, you know, agreed to terms to bring back Darrell Williams. So that makes him expendable. But, you know, hey, the guy opts out, spend time with his mom, had cancer last year. He was a hero for you in two playoff runs, and in the Super Bowl win, that's it. That's a tough business.
You know, the cap is, what did I call it? Hashtag there is no cap, but it's like snowflakes on the Audubon, right? Like it's just enough to slow you down, but it's not really there. And that kind of feeds into the fact you got all this space. You did those things that you needed to do. Maybe you kicked the can a little bit. We'll get to that eventually. But for Damian, like I don't think 2.2 is enough savings that really warranted doing it, in my opinion, because now you're looking at Darwin being the third, probably adding one at least in UDFA land after the draft and bolstering your stable there of guys that can carry the ball. But I kind of liked the idea, even at 2.2, with Damian, Darrell, and Clyde all working together. I'm a little bit surprised by this move, actually.
Yeah, I thought that there was a chance they would go ahead and keep, you know, Damian, because it, like you said, I mean, 2.2 is not much. I mean, that's a fairly affordable cap hit. And, you know, having that kind of depth at that position, I think there's some value to that. I think that, you know, if you set aside the business side of it and you just get on the football aspect of it, I think it probably comes down to a little bit about reliability. You know, even throughout his entire career, Damian Williams has not really been a 16 game back. I mean, you know, even when he's been, you know, in some backup roles in earlier in his career, you know, it was still, you know, the thing that held him back was kind of that consistency thing. In Kansas City, you saw a little bit of that again. I mean, you know, there were times where it was tough sledding last year and the year before last, times that, you know, it wasn't always, you didn't always seem to get prime Damian Williams. And not sure that that's necessarily his fault or that's just the player that he is, that there's just times that he thrives. But it was getting consistency, being healthy for a full season. I think both those go into the factors about, you know, why maybe you do go with a Darrell Williams instead as your number two guy, because that's the guy who's been more consistent for you. He can do a little bit of everything, does the same kind of stuff, plays a lot of special teams. And not that Damian Williams can't play special teams at this point in his career, but that's probably the other factor, is that, you know, they're going to be wanting to fill that roster spot with a guy that can play a lot of special teams, and that's not Damian Williams.
No, that's not going to be what he is. What he is a gamer when it comes to the postseason. I do think he is a factor that they may miss down the line. I thought Darrell performed this last run in the playoffs. I thought he performed when called upon. Obviously, he missed the year before in the Super Bowl run to their victory. But is there room? I don't think there's anything in free agency that they have to look at this position any longer, including the fullback, as much as I'd love that. But this is the group that they have right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, for now, I will never rule out, you know, Brett Veach looking at some running backs that are out there, because he's turned through quite a few on the practice squad over the years. So, you know, he signed, you know, remember, I mean, it seems like the last couple of years, he's always signed a veteran free agent for like a minimum salary deal to bring him in and provide competition and see what it's out there. And Damian Williams at one point was that guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, it would not surprise me at all if you saw a 4 or 5 year veteran coming in on a minimum salary deal with some incentives, see what's there. And, you know, and they're always going to be looking in the free agent market, the rookie free agent market too. So if you were telling me that these are going to be the three guys on the roster week one, I would bet that there's going to be somebody not on this team right now that is on the 53 come beginning of the season at the running back spot.
Yeah, that's my guess as well. Maybe it'll be John Lovett. We'll cross our fingers. But no matter who it is, they'll be running behind a new left guard, probably, as well as a couple of other things. We're going to get to that right here after the break. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing. And BetOnline even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. So big news. I didn't think they were going to do it. I'm not sure you thought that they were going to do this. Like the pre-wave. Like they're not even in the first wave. They're in the pre-wave and going after and paying Joe Tooney, who I have actually had a crush on since the draft cycle, right? Like, he's my kind of guard. He can do a little bit of everything. He's not overly powerful. He's not overly athletic. He's got a little bit of it all. A, were you surprised that they went after the guard? While there's rumors of, you know, Trent Williams' interest, we'll get to in a second. Are you surprised that they went after him directly as like the first target? And are you surprised by the contract?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that wasn't surprised. I mean, this wasn't really, you know, on the board at all of anything that anybody thought was possible. And if you told me on Sunday that, hey, the Chiefs are going to spend $80 million to bring in an offensive lineman, I would have thought Trent Williams is the Kansas City Chief. You know, to just totally reset the guard market, you know, with bringing in Tooney, it was a surprise. Now, looking at it, you can see how it fits. I mean, this is clearly the Chiefs are in a rebuilding the offensive line mode. And, you know, how are you going to do that? Certainly building from the outside in is an approach. And if you've got a guy like Joe Tooney at left guard, then you know what? If you are forced to play a younger player, a rookie, even, you know, just a less experienced player at left tackle, it gives you a lot more sense of, you know, confidence that you got a guy like Tooney next to him. That's one part of it. Second part of it, you know, obviously is that, you know, Tooney, you're right. I mean, he can do a little bit of everything. He can protect a quarterback. He can block. He's nasty. I mean, he's going to bring that, you know, that kind of mentality to this team, which frankly, you know, we've talked about it now for years going on, that this team needs some of that. I mean, especially in short yardage type situations. I mean, Tooney's the kind of guy that we saw how happy Patrick Mahomes was. I got to think Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Eric Bieniemy are just dancing having a guy like this that they can run behind and scheme behind, because that's just absolutely should open some things up in the run game. So you can see how it fits.
Absolutely. And I think he helps more than just that position that he lines up at. I think he helps guys on either side of him. And that brings me to the question. It feels to me like you could put him at center, but it feels like this is just a slap in. He's the left guard, done deal, over and done with. We'll deal with center when it comes to it. Maybe it's Al Gretty, maybe it's not. Or do you feel that there is that room that maybe he should go into the middle of the offense and let Al Gretty stay where he is?
You know, well, and the funny thing is that, you know, for the money you're paying him, you'd almost say it'd make more sense to kick him out the tackle. You know, but yeah, I don't think that you pay Joe Tooney that kind of money to move him to center. Okay. You know, center's a spot where, you know, you can, it's a different spot. I mean, you can get away with a different type of athlete, a different type of player. And, you know, and frankly, sometimes it's a more affordable player. And I think what you saw from Al Gretty last year, I think he showed you enough at guard to believe that that's going to translate over. The Chiefs have always believed that he's got, a fairly decent ceiling as a potential center. And you pair that with, you know, that you now know that Andrew Wiley's coming back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, LDT's on this roster. I think you feel pretty good about your competition and your depth at guard now. And frankly, it's all about tackle. And, you know, are there tackles on the roster? Are they in free agency? Are they in the draft? The answer is probably to all those questions, yes.
Yeah, right. Well, and here's the thing. If it works out the way that it plays in my head, Andrew Wiley, who started, 16 games last year, 17 games, I'm sorry, is now your best interior backup. That in and of itself should show you where the waterline is, that they are raising the level of this offensive unit.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, LDT comes back and he is, you know, close to what he was in 2019, and yeah, and Wiley is then your depth on the inside, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been playing through all the different scenarios. I mean, and Andrew Wiley doesn't have a ton of experience at center, so I couldn't necessarily seeing him be the guy that kicks inside would make a lot more sense with Al Gretty. But you're right. I mean, and the fact that you've got starter level caliber guys that are sticking with you will definitely help with the chemistry aspect of it. But I don't think the Chiefs are done. I mean, they're obviously going to be bringing in some more competition and some more depth, because they saw last year that even as deep as they tried to be, it got them in the end. Yeah. So that's one thing that they know that they absolutely have to do is that, you know what, their backups this year have to be better than they were last year.
I think that's true. And honestly, and I like the concept, depending on the boxes that they get, if Andrew Wiley's your sixth guy that comes in, lines up outside the tackle, and then you can just crush downfield, I think that that's great. But that brings us to, do you agree that I really don't think Tooney's slated here to go out to tackle either?
No, I don't think that you pay a guy that kind of money to move him. I mean, to me, if you're paying him that money, you're paying him to do exactly what he's been good at. So Yeah, it would surprise me if he's anything other than left guard for the Chiefs.
Okay, so that brings me to probably not just on my diagram that I have here in front of me, but in most people's, I have two question marks at left tackle right now. So the interest in Trent Brown, do you think Trent Williams? Good Lord. So do you think at this point, after the Tooney signing, knowing what is it, 4.5 first year, but then it's going up pretty dramatically, as hopefully will the cap itself. Do you think that they're still in the running, as we're hearing this afternoon, that the Niners are being pretty competitive in trying to retain him as well?
I mean, can you do it? Yes. The question, I think, is going to be, you know, does it continue to make sense? If the 49ers are willing to go to the mattresses on this, I mean, at some point, I think you have to ask yourself, as good as Trent Williams is, does it make sense to go that high for a 33-year-old tackle, especially when you just said goodbye to 32-30-year-old tackles with injury problems? You know, Williams hasn't had that injury history, so I get it. But to me, at 33 for a tackle, you're almost just asking for it. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's just been luck. I mean, that's what it is. So let's, you know, guys are going to get hurt, and guys are more likely to get hurt when they're 33. So, you know, how high are you willing to go? I mean, right now it looks like the 49ers are willing to match just about anything. And hey, you know what? They can provide a competitive team. So it's not like, you know, Trent Williams can say, I got a much better chance of winning a Super Bowl, so I'll take less money to go to KC. I mean, they're relatively decent chances there too. So I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs can absolutely make it happen. And you have to assume that where there's smoke, there's fire, that there's some realness to this here. But I would think at some point you've got to question, you know, how smart is it to go too high, too fast on a 33-year-old tackle?
Yeah, that's the real question. And I don't think that there's any real answer until we know what happens. We know that they sometimes get stuck in a rut, and when they have a target, they really feel that they need it, they go get it. So it's a developing story still, folks, as we record this tonight, but that's where we're at. Thanks for your time tonight, Matt.
Absolutely.
And folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. We'll talk to you then. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.